another Yes to Life show. I'm Robin Daly, chairman and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, and as usual, I'm going to be talking today about integrative medicine for cancer, or integrative oncology. My guest today is someone who I would say has made a significant change to the way that we look at cancer. Sophie True is the force behind True Fields, a cancer festival. Now, this may sound like a pretty weird idea to some of you, but it was an enormous success and it created a focus for the massive move occurring mainly on the internet towards a completely different way of viewing and responding to cancer than the one that's common currency in the UK. So I'm keen to talk to Sophie and to find out more about the event and about her plans for the future. Hi Sophie, thanks very much for coming on the show to tell us about True Fields and your plans.
Hello Robin, it's great to be here, thank you.
Okay, so there's quite a few people who would say that cancer's far too serious a business for and fundamentally at odds with the whole concept of a festival and for the upbeat atmosphere of your True Fields event in July. What would you say in response to this?
It's a very interesting question to begin with, because I was asked a similar question by a local journalist who said, how is it appropriate to do a festival around cancer? Because it's what it is. And I think that's exactly the point, is there's so many taboos around this illness. There's so much, the narrative that we have creates a lot of fear. And there's so much negativity, I find, that I wanted to kind of break through that and do something uplifting and create a space for people to share and to feel empowered and to have fun. Because why does it have to be you're living? There is still elements of fun. So why does it have to be, you know, just kind of really heavy, serious stuff? It just adds to the tone of it. So I wanted to make it light, in short.
All right. Well, that makes sense to me. So the idea for the festival, it didn't come out of thin air. You've got your own very real health story that led you to its creation. I wondered if you'd mind telling us a bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a kind of windy road to the idea of the festival itself, but So when I graduated from uni and wanted to go into journalism, and I was out working in Paris for a paper briefly, and then was fortunate enough to get a grant to go to Colombia to make a documentary, which was really exciting, really fascinating, good fun. And I came home ready to kind of dive into the documentary world, and I got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. I had a lump that appeared on my neck after seeing a chiropractor. Luckily, he must have moved something up. Maybe he moved toxins, because I then found out I had two on my chest and then one in my spleen. And from the moment of diagnosis, I just realized there were huge gaps in the whole full treatment approach. And I knew I had to do something differently, integrative, and go down that route. And the festival, to fast forward a couple of years, I definitely missed out bit of a chunk, was around the fact that, as you know, there is this incredibly thriving, interesting, inspiring community of people online in the cancer groups and in different areas, and people doing so much stuff. But I just thought everyone is kind of in their own space. They're in their different areas, but they haven't been brought together. Mm-hmm. And there's such a powerful thing that happens when we all come together and everyone shares their stories, and it was all around hope and inspiration in that sense, and helping people to realize that they can go through post-traumatic growth after treatment, and also that there are many things they can do. But the actual, I am prone to procrastination. I think we can have a lot of resistance around things that we feel like we really want to do. And there was a particular, there's a particular reason why I did the festival this year, which is because of a close friend of mine, Katie Cohen, who immediately when I met her, it was an instant click, and she was awesome. And because of her, the festival happened this year. I think it's harder to see someone you care for going for treatment and feeling quite unempowered to help them. Mm. And I wanted to do this as a project that would be fun and that could kind of take the focus away from treatment and make it about, we often spoke about the people that had inspired us when we'd been going through cancer. So it was about bringing those people together and doing that. And I really wanted Katie to be one of the speakers at the festival. So that was the mission for doing it this year, basically. Mm. It's that thing that knowing time is short makes you get on and do stuff. So in a sense, she's got a lot to answer for, and I'm very grateful as well in that sense.
Yeah. Well, it's right. There's nothing like a cancer diagnosis for getting you off your butt and realizing that life doesn't go on forever. And if you've got important things to do, you better get on with it.
Well, it's kind of, yeah, you get woken up, don't you?
You do, definitely. Well, that's the silver lining, if you like, on a rather horrible occurrence, basically. And especially at your age, the last thing you're expecting, I'm sure.
You know, it's that thing that you don't even know. I'd never come across it before, and I didn't even know it existed. And again, the classic, oh, it only happens to older people, but you know, it's all of us. And there's no speck that can come for the standard cancer patient.
No. My daughter was 9 when she was diagnosed, and in the wards where she was treated, we came across babies that were born with cancer. So, our minds were similarly expanded.
It's fascinating. You've dived deep into all of it, haven't you?
Yeah, over time I have. And, it's quite a world out there, which, of course, people don't want to know about it generally. You can see why, even though statistics say they're extremely likely to have to come across it sometime. The thing is that people basically, they fear it so much they would rather not know about it until they have to. So they don't.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's a bit like, I'm just kind of thinking of a random analogy. You put in fire alarms in your house and you put in all of these health and safety checks when you move into a home, but we don't really put the fire alarms internally to set up an environment that is conducive for cancer not to grow. But we do it with plants in a garden. We give them the right nutrients, but we don't necessarily do that for ourselves. So it's kind of this avoidance.
Yeah.
But I think also there's a lot of fear that surrounds it, and that fear comes from the unknown, and it's hard to break through the simple steps of what you can do to be well. I think a lot of people find it overwhelming and quite a confusing topic, because it is inevitably, but prevention can be fairly simple if we go down certain factors.
Yes, well, I think you're right. I mean, I also think there's no insurance policies. I do know people who really lived the most healthy lives and have still got a cancer diagnosis. So there's so much to it. And, you know, we have some understanding now, which is great. And so we do know a lot of the things we should do and that we shouldn't do if we don't want to get cancer. But, you know, people still get caught out. But nonetheless, I think we have enough knowledge to reduce our odds of getting cancer enormously if we take the right choices.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, your event then, I saw it as a bit the way you've described it. It's a bit sort of Facebook Live, your event, where instead of people having these two-dimensional images of each other, we actually got to meet each other, which was
exactly
really great. Yeah.
It was really very uplifting. And it's that kind of funny thing now on reflection. I think it's a bit like when you're cooking something, you can't really taste the meal like everyone else does after when you're eating it, because you kind of look at the process of it or making something.
Yes.
So it's hard to see how much of a great event and how much people got from it on the day itself, because it's that funny thing that actually probably from December. So I put it on with a good friend, Will. It was his farm that we put it on. And I just had this whiteboard, which I'd scribbled down the names of the different speakers and the different activities that I wanted to have there. So all of the speakers on the cancer awareness stage were on this whiteboard vision board. So once I'd put them down, I made it the mission to get them speaking there, very persistent with it. But it went from the whiteboard, scribbling in the pub, to the actual event itself. And yeah, it was a very exciting, accelerated process of putting it together.
Great. So look, a step back again now. There's a little quote which I got from something you wrote, which says, I didn't connect with the mainstream cancer narrative. So that pretty well sums up what you were just saying earlier about your feelings about that. Well, there's got to be more to this. I just
out of interest, what did the more to this look like in your case?
In the sense of what did I do to recover? Or
exactly, yeah.
So there were several things that stick in my mind from being diagnosed straight away, and maybe it's the journalist inside me, that kind of interviewing side of wanting to know more, wanting to go into things. And also, I have to say, I do think going into the research, we all have different coping mechanisms, and looking into why and finding out what I could do to empower myself was definitely my coping mechanism at the time going through chemotherapy. But I was told, I was treated on a teenage cancer ward, and I'd always have a lot of questions around different things. And I was told there was no reason why I got it and that it was a lottery, and it just didn't sit with me at all. Mm. And as I started chemo, I just felt, it does feel like you are slowly being poisoned. And in a sense, it did feel a bit like a, as I went through it, so I was having chemo for 6 months, but it does slowly, over time, it does strip away your identity on a physical level, but also emotionally. And you feel like you, at least I felt like I was slightly betraying my body by putting all of these poisons into it as I learned more. And so I felt that I had to start then giving myself as much nutrients as possible, a lot of rest time, and yeah, the other factors. So it was diet, rest, exercise. Sometimes after, I think about the fourth or fifth day, I'd feel ready to get out of bed after treatment and able to go and do some movement. And that made the world of difference, because you'd be oxygenating and breathing. And then meditation was a huge factor, really huge factor. And I think it was a lot easier back then because I was on a range. I was taking sleeping pills daily. I was kind of numbing myself with different medicines, unaware of the impact and the side effects of what they would do. But meditation, about 3 months into chemo, I was meditating, and one evening I felt like I was being strangled at the site of where my first tumor appeared, so around my neck. Mm. And that was probably for about 5 minutes, and I felt it release, and found out the next week with my scan results that I was in the all clear, so it had all gone. So wow. That was a really powerful tool just to kind of, reconnect with myself. Because before treatment, like many of us, I was living in my head and I was disconnected from actually realizing I had a body and it needed looking after. So that was huge factor. But I've gone off on a tangent. But in essence...
No, I don't think it's a tangent at all. It sounds like a very central part of your journey, which is... I mean, we're talking about integrative medicine here, which includes everything.
Yeah, and it does. And you get to that point where you want to try everything. And I feel like that's where it's difficult with the judgment that people have around the options that people take, because all the choices that they make. Because actually, if anything helps anyone, then surely that's a great thing, regardless of where it's from, or on either side of conventional, alternative, or mixing the two. I think it's all about giving people more life and more quality of life.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It shouldn't matter where it comes from. It does, unfortunately. But it matters to the people who are practicing it anyway. But you're right, from a patient perspective, well, if it helps, it helps. You don't really care what label it's got on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you do all sorts of weird stuff. And that's the fact that the comedy comes in, because you find yourself, I remember... probably the first enema I did was probably the most awkward thing, because I was back home, family home, and dad's knocking on the bathroom door saying, what are you doing there? And there you are doing whatever again.
Yeah, right.
But you get up to, and you have that thing of, how have I got to this point that I'm doing this kind of stuff all in the name of recovery? Because, your dignity gets stripped away at that point.
Mm. They're good things, though, those enemas. I can attest to that. Yeah, it's quite a journey, isn't it? And you're actually rather unconsciously entering a battle zone, unfortunately, between orthodox medicine and everything else. And obviously the mission of Yes to Life is to try and intervene in this battle zone and to start to get some communication and start people actually talking to each other in a reasonable way about joining forces to help people with cancer, because let's face it, in this country particularly, they're not doing very well.
And it's just staggering, isn't it, really, compared to other places. Like Germany, for example. So the year after treatment, I had to escape. And because it felt like I was in rehab, of everyone saying, should you be doing this? Should you be drinking this? What's happening now? You know, where are you going to next?
Yeah.
And so I went to Mexico and Central America, very bald. And it's amazing, the clinics out there, the clinics in Germany and just different places. It's very progressive.
Yeah, it's a very different picture, isn't it? It's amazing, really, that just to see that the range of possibilities there are. But I mean, you know, those are kind of, they're quite far out, those two, in terms of being, you know, having more on offer than other places. But even America, which was, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, didn't look a lot different to the UK, except for the fact they gave even higher doses of chemo and all the, you know, they just did more of the same stuff. Now, integrated medicine, I mean, no self-respecting leading cancer centre is without an integrative oncology department, a nutritionist that's detected within 100 yards of a hospital in this country is liable to get shot down. So, you know, we're very, very backward.
Yeah, you know, I even handing out the, I went to some of the wards, some of the different hospitals with the flyers for the festival.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And that was a challenge, is actually accessing the people who would benefit from the event, because they, even immediately, just looking at the flyer, and there was a range of different things on there, but the one thing they picked out straight away is they said, no, we can't have anything with nutrition. You can't put the flyers down here, right, because you're talking about nutrition.
It's dangerous stuff, nutrition, eh?
It is. Juice can send you to Mars.
Yeah, never mind the chemo. It's the nutrition that could kill you. So anyway.
Do you put that down to the different friends I was treated with? They all lost their nails and other factors were happening to them physically, and I didn't have any of those symptoms, and juicing was definitely a huge factor in that.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's quite clear the integrative clinics that actually use orthodox treatments alongside other approaches, they actually manage to minimize side effects to virtually nothing. So yeah, you can definitely do that. Okay, so maybe back to the festival now, Truefields Festival. So you got the whiteboard, you know, down the pub there, you've got the whole thing together, and off you went. And so what, well, first of all, how long did it take you to get from there to actually the event happening?
So I said to Will in the pub in December, I'm thinking about putting on this festival. And then from there, he actually went away for a few months. So from March, we really started on the event in March.
Right, that was fast.
So it was about four or five accelerated months.
Yeah, very accelerated. And when you say we, how many people are you talking about?
Will and I, really, because so I was kind of, luckily he's the logistics man, so he does the different staging and those kind of factors. I am probably the most unpractical person you can come across, which we had a fantastic, in the build-up to the festival, we had an awesome team of friends who, probably about 15, who were working on the visual aspects and how it looked around the site, which was beautiful. So they were all fantastic. And then Will was logistics and I was putting together the lineup and the different stages and scheduling and those factors and marketing.
Fantastic. But nonetheless, actually, you're all completely new to this sort of event.
Oh, my goodness. I did say to someone the other day, I said, we were unbelievably lucky on so many levels because, yeah, there's lots that we didn't know about. It was kind of like lambs going into the flock of the unknown with it, because none of us had done a festival.
Well, look, from the point of view, you know, I was there, you couldn't tell it was an amateur event. It seemed to work perfectly.
I even remember, you know, it's those things, luckily, and maybe sometimes it could be to my detriment, but I'm not really a what if kind of person. I just go for it and don't really think about the other factors. Maybe that's lack of experience, but people kept saying, have you got rain cover, have you got this, what's going to happen if this happens? And I just said, it's not going to rain. That's it. We're not doing anything. Excellent. It's not going to rain.
Yeah, okay, fools rush in, they say, yeah?
Just go great. For it. I think yeah. there's so many, we all come up with great things and things really click with us that could be done to make the world, in essence, a better place. But then the what ifs kick in our mind, and that holds so many people back.
Absolutely so right.
Yeah. Need to have a magnet that retracts the what ifs.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a little bit of pragmatism occasionally, but not too much, eh?
Exactly.
Right. So, look, how would you sum up your aims for the event? What were you hoping to achieve, just the bullet points?
So there were several factors with it. Part of it was the uniting of the community that Katie and I had spoken about with everyone that had inspired us during our treatment, and that factor. The other side was to inspire people who haven't had cancer to with information. And it was also about everyone coming together to learn ways to be healthier and happier and get more from life. But the other huge aspect as well is that all of the talks on the cancer awareness stage, they were all filmed, and they're going to be part of a new information platform that we're setting up. So it's going to be a YouTube channel, and all the talks are going to be accessible for everybody. I'd love that to be a platform for these conversations around cancer, and for that to be ongoing. So it's an information hub as well. That's part of the legacy. And then following on from that legacy, I just want it to be an opportunity. It's an education factor, that's the core thing, but kind of fun education is the mission of the event. Mm. And then ideally we want to start running workshops as well.
Right.
So there'll be like the festival, but a day workshop event with different speakers there, and they're for people after treatment. Because on a personal level, I found finishing chemo was the hardest bit. And a lot of people maybe would think it's the beginning or during it, but actually afterwards, when you kind of think, okay, so what's just happened? And a lot of people go through the whole post-traumatic shock.
Mm.
But I'm huge on how can we move towards post-traumatic growth. And there's this kind of stuck energy that can happen after treatment, and inevitably you're completely wiped and you are rebuilding. And it's how can we inspire people to know that they can live great lives after cancer, and they can go on to create a life they love. And that's what the workshop's going to be about. They're going to be about physical, emotional aspects, and also the holistic side of actually looking at meditation and different factors like that. So they're kind of like a reboot day.
Mm. Well, look, that sounds absolutely brilliant, because you're absolutely right. Of course, it's legendary, the fact that this sort of cliff edge of the end of treatment, when suddenly, you know, however bad treatment was, there were all these people looking after you, paying attention, monitoring you, supporting you, heaven knows what. And then suddenly it's like, well, what, you know? And yeah, so many people experience a very hard time at that point. So some workshops that directly address that sound brilliant.
Absolutely. And then combining with the fact that you've had your treatment, and so your gut health is going to be yep. low anyway, and your immunity is low, so you're going to be prone to anything that comes your way. But also on emotional aspects, because of your gut health, your serotonin is going to be down, and yeah, you're going to struggle to pick your mood up. So I think that's the area is, okay, so now this is the point where actually there is great stuff you can do, and you can be motivated to use the experience and then go on to, doesn't have to completely stop your life, is what I think.
Mm.
And there's so many people now surviving that, yeah, it's an area that could do with a good boost to it.
Yeah, agreed. Well, look, I think, by creating fundamentally a brand new kind of event, because I've never heard of anything remotely like True Fields before, as soon as I heard about it, I thought, yes, fantastic. But, you know, that type of positivity and uplifting self-help, kind of supporting one another atmosphere that you created there, you now got a brand, basically, which I'm sure will infuse your workshops and everything else you do create a thoroughly great force for helping people. So that sounds really exciting.
Absolutely. And it really did feel really needed as well. And as you say, it was kind of high, it was time for it. You've obviously been a witness to all of this for many more years than I have, but it just, it feels like there's so many good people doing things, and it's at this shift point that there are the two parallels, and more people are getting interested in those aspects because we're aware that the current system's archaic and it's not working. And I just think, for honest, I think it's a really exciting time as well. It's a,
I agree. It's a revolutionary time.
Definitely with the cancer revolution.
Yeah.
But there's a lot we can do and a lot we can be talking about. And it's kind of, that's the thing, is I think a lot of people get put off. Well, of course you do, but we all know the worst that can happen. And it is a very destructive illness. And it will put people off who see it on the sidelines, that how can you do an event around cancer awareness? And that's what I got. I wasn't really expect or aware of the response I would get from some people who thought it was a crazy idea and who found it. Some people did find it an offensive idea, but that was the point, was actually for stuff to be accessible. I think we've got to make it fun and we've got to make it interesting and upbeat. And I heard some people on the Sunday morning saying, kind of talking amongst themselves, I don't think they knew that I was there, and they were saying, I can't believe we've just been to a cancer awareness festival. Who would have thought?
Yeah, great. Okay, so coming back to your hopes and aims for the event, do you think you achieved them?
I hope so, yes. Yeah.
I mean, is there anything you'd do differently with hindsight?
So with hindsight, I would definitely get someone who... on board on the marketing side. That's something that would be great to get help with, marketing and the PR side, and getting it out to more people who will benefit. But also it's those things that you kind of slightly overlook. And I we were talking, even I think it was a couple of days before, and we were saying, where should we put the yoga? And we were picking the nicest grass spot, and actually we put the yoga right next to the music tent, and right. People were doing classes to a range of different music, to beatboxing. Is probably the least zen space we could have gone for, but it's those factors where you think, oh gosh,
all right. Learning curve, eh?
Yeah,
yeah.
And then it's the side of how long you have the talks for and things, but I think the really great thing about the day is that everyone bought something, and everyone kind of contributed in a way, which is whether it was just with their presence and making it the lovely atmosphere it was and being engaged in the talks, but it's kind of more of a community event. And I'd love to give people different roles so they can feel like they're a big part of it next time.
Okay. And was there anything unexpected that popped up and surprised you at the event, which you hadn't really thought was going to happen?
Nothing really unexpected, but I think it did feel, I think the drumming added so much to the talks and that area, that section. And Tom, who was on the drums, I think he said afterwards, he said it felt like a kind of very happy, loved up house party. And I think I wasn't really expecting how nice of an atmosphere it was, but I guess you can't preempt that. So that was wonderful. In terms of unexpected, not really. It was more of the build up that I could do differently, in the sense that I was probably having just working around the clock non-stop. More preparation next time would be great.
A bit more time would help, probably. You did it mighty fast.
Yeah.
Well, you can put it down.
We didn't have the yes to life. I did put on the vision board, on the whiteboard, I put yes to life cover band, but that didn't happen.
Well, look, I think you can chalk it up as a pretty good first attempt.
Yeah, thank you.
So I wanted to go on to talk about the speakers. You had a pretty amazing range of them coming at health from all sorts of angles. Do you want to just say a little bit about each of the speakers and why you chose them for your event?
Yeah, absolutely. So they were all really brilliant. And that's the great thing, is people can watch back the videos as well. So that's perfect. So to kicking off the day, we had Patrick Holford, who is a, for anyone who doesn't know, pioneering nutritionist. And he's the author of Say No to Cancer, which was one of the first books I read when I was diagnosed. And it's really a turning point for realizing that diet has a huge impact on us on a cellular level, which is so obvious, but I'd never heard about that.
No.
So Patrick was there and he was talking about the combination of, so the diet approaches for cancer. So he was talking about the ketogenic, which has got a lot of attention recently, and the vegan aspect. So it was cancer go vegogenic. So the combined approach of ketogenic and vegan. And then we had the wonderful Jessica Richards, who I know has spoken at Yes to Life events.
Indeed.
And she was talking about how to get into the recovery mindset. And her story is just, yeah, very powerful one about how the factor, the whole how our mind is kind of overriding and is hugely powerful in our bodies and the impact it can have in our recovery. Then we had Dr. Henning, who really fortunate, he came over from Germany. He came over from the Arcadia Clinic. And he was talking about the approach that they have out there in the clinic. And then after Henning, then we had the really special, it was yeah, very poignant moment that Sophie Savage did turn up there. That was a slight miracle in itself to see her. And I think she'd even driven there herself. So, but she was there to talk about her fascinating. This is a huge part of the shift is her on the emotional side and the narrative, of course. Sophie's leading that way of kind of directing your cancer care and the way we speak about it and the power of words. And she was talking about the cancer whisperer, whispering movement, and also really powerfully how you can win even when you lose, which is a concept that's so important to get out there and to, because I feel like there can be quite a sheep movement around anything. And when something's out there as the usual narrative, so everyone, you know, the classic lost their battle, people just go with it because it's what you say. It's just, it's like kind of deepest sympathies when someone passes away. But actually, what does that really mean? It doesn't mean anything. So that was Sophie's talk. And yeah, speaking after Sophie was Claudia Manchender, who is the wonderful herbalist. She's a medical herbalist, and she was talking about the supportive herbs for when you're going through treatment, which is a really fascinating talk. And it's just, there's so much out there. Again, it shows us how much there is out there for us to draw on to heal and how many herbs are growing locally that can benefit us. So that was brilliant. And then Deborah Eath came over from Ireland, which was a real honour to have her coming over. And she was talking about iodine and the link between iodine and the thyroid and progression and development of cancer. Huge factor. She, the iodine queen. Then we had Mo Hack, he has a really powerful story that can inspire lots of people with the fundraising aspect, because it's so tricky. This is the other thing, is it costs a lot to recover. It can cost a lot to be well and to... And that's where it's a tough one, because these clinics inevitably, some people are, you know, they're selling their house and stuff to go to the clinics. So that was a key factor. Mo managed to raise £100,000, I think, in the space of a few weeks, which is amazing, for his immunotherapy treatment. So he was talking about keeping hope in despair during a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. And then there was Jane McKelland, who has a really interesting experience of off-label drugs and how she's recovered from stage 4 cancer using a combination of off-labels, diet and other approaches, which is, again, super inspiring. And all of the speakers really were there to inspire and to show that there are so many options and lots that we can be doing. Really grateful to have them all there. The final speaker, Chris Helenga, who came from Cornwall, and she is the boob queen. We had a lot of queens. I'm calling everyone the herbal queen, the iodine queen. And she was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer after a long time of misdiagnosis at the age of 23. And a couple of months into her treatment, she found a copper fill with her twin sister. After realizing the lack of awareness and the lack of promotion around checking your boobs, and that movement has been epic and really a game changer for young women and for young people to start checking to copper feel. And it was fantastic to have Chris there, because again, she's really inspiring and what she's been doing to stay alive and to be motivated to do so. But mainly my favorite thing about Chris is just how she lives. She just really knows how to live and she knows how to have fun. And that's the fantastic aspect. Is everyone brought a really upbeat energy to it as well, which was in the sense of just the festival mood that it can be, we can be uplifted and we can have fun around this.
Great. Well, look, it's really interesting that, several of the speakers are themselves the people who've had or still have cancer, and they've become leaders representing new ways of looking at cancer and cancer treatment. But, you know, in the past, these people, they were around, of course, but really publishing a book was their only way of getting heard.
Interesting.
Yeah, if you've got the talents of Sophie Savage, that avenue's still clearly wide open. But for the rest of us, social media is the place that's given us a voice. And so this is where these people are shining. You know, Jane, for instance, you know, she's got a very fast-growing group of people all sharing and learning from each other about a very specific angle on cancer, which is amazing, you know, completely outside the official channels of medicine. And this kind of level of community self-help is unprecedented. It's as we were saying earlier, it's revolutionary, and it's a very exciting development. So True Fields, to me, is like another feature of this revolutionary landscape. It's just a new outcome of this whole movement towards self-help, basically. Well, if we're not getting the help we need from the official channels, we're not going to give up. We're going to go out and find it for ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think there's so much power when people come together and when we unite on that front, and it creates a kind of a little army around it. So it's really exciting and an engaging time as well. And some time to be active. Huge factor is just taking an active role in whatever your situation is, because if we're dormant with it, that's when we're just going to be kind of overrided with everything. And also a lot of people find, obviously, there's so much contradictory information out there, but you kind of, once you take it in, you can go with what resonates with you. And I think often we look externally to heal, and actually when we come back to it and we go internal, we know innately what we need to do to recover, and we know what we need to do to be well. We know, take it away from illness, we know in any situation what we need to do, but we rarely listen to our internal voice because there's so many point of views. It's kind of how much of your point of view is your point of view. And I think, yeah, it's getting involved in the conversation and being able to make your own choices. But without the information, you can't do that. So that's part of, again, the festival factor and everyone's groups is giving people the information and the hope. And just knowing, if I'd known before I was ill, and this is why I do a lot of the stuff that I do on True Talks, is because I don't want anyone to know how little I knew before I was diagnosed, and everything I share is stuff that I wish I'd known. So it's just putting that out there and talking about it.
Right. It's interesting, isn't it, that actually in order to sort of move forward in the way that you've described, there has to be a willingness to embrace two things. One of them's complexity, because as you say, you're going to have to look at things which diametrically opposing views about the same thing, and weigh this up for yourself. So you've got to be ready to embrace a bit of complexity, but also the most important one probably, you've got to be willing to embrace uncertainty, because of course you're making decisions going forward, you're hoping are going to make you well again, but there is absolutely zero certainty in it, and at the end of the day. But you're actually using your intuition to get your best hit on it, which is a very different way of relating to life, to trying to get everything insured to the hilt and safe.
Totally. I think sometimes if we numb our intuition for long enough, it then springs out in different aspects on either on an illness level or different elements sometimes as well. I felt like I was just drawn to different factors, like the meditation. I just knew I had to start doing that. And you get different guides as well. There are certain people that really help you during the process. I was seeing a homeopath who was really beneficial to me. I was told I had to stop taking the homeopathy because it would interfere with my treatment, which wasn't true. So I had to...
I've never heard that one. The orthodox medicine maintains stoically that homeopathy does absolutely nothing because there's nothing in it. So how could it interfere with anything? That's such a joke.
Exactly.
All right. Sorry to interrupt. That was too funny.
I got you fired up. There are just so many things. You could actually write a quote book on things you hear in the hospital, things that happen, because it can be quite ludicrous. What I find is a challenge is also a lot of people, it's kind of hard to imagine what you are told if you haven't been there as well. So you do sound like you're going a bit bonkers, but I get many eyes rolled sometimes when I go into the hospital, because one of my main missions was to try and get rid of Burger King.
Right. That was a good mission. Yeah. Well, more power to you on that one. I hope you succeed. Okay, back to the festival, or restival, as I saw you called it one time.
Yeah.
Nice name for it. Apart from the speakers, there was a whole raft of other stuff going on all the time. Just a quick roundup. Do you want to just tell everybody who didn't manage to get there what was going on as well?
Yes. So there were three main areas. So there was the cancer awareness stage, which is around the information, empowerment, hope, more life, those aspects with treatment and very integrative focus. And that was also inspired by the work that you do at Yes to Life, the integrative work, which is fantastic. Then there's the holistic health area. So that included, that was about movement. I think exercise is so underrated in getting us oxygenated and getting our blood flow going and also moving our lymph. So that was yoga, there was mindful movement. We were really lucky to get a range of fantastic speakers and workshop leads coming to do those classes. So there was Qigong, there was meditation, there were talks on nutrition, homeopathy for babies, and then there was the yoga and Tai Chi and a range of different factors. There was a law of attraction workshop, and the raw food chef, Russell James, was there doing a raw food cooking demo. So it's a range of different elements that would hopefully be things that people could take away and then go into if it resonated with them. Mm. It's kind of like a lucky dip of different activities. And then there was the music and the Cohen comedy area. Cohen comedy was the factor named after Katie. And on the music stage, there were bands in the evening. I don't know if you stayed. Did you stay for the bands?
No, I wasn't there for the bands, actually.
So you'd been drummed out. there was a really fantastic brass band and then an Afro-Manding band who were brilliant at the end. And we had circus workshops and we were doing fire dancing. So there was a range of, and then there was acoustic singers in the day and DJs, really brilliant lineup of DJs who were fantastic. So lots of different things going on, as you can tell from that rather random description of it all.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. That's great. So looking to the future, True Fields, it was a success, particularly successful for a first event, and there's already quite a demand for another one next year. Is it going to happen?
No, we're probably going to do it every 10 years. Can you imagine? We are definitely going to do a festival in 2018, yes.
Excellent, excellent. Good. All right, so a lot of relieved people out there, I'm sure. Not only the ones who came, but the ones who didn't come.
Well, you know, also, I'm very grateful to everyone who did come, because they took a gamble on an event. No one knew what it was going to be like.
True.
We didn't know what it would be like. No one knew. So doing that was brilliant as well. Mm. But a huge factor, what I need to work out is how to make it sustainable, because as said earlier, I struggle with how costly it can be to be well and to be healthy. And so I wanted to keep ticket prices down. Mm-hmm. And also to offer discounted and cheaper tickets to those who needed it. So it's kind of working out how to make it sustainable ongoing is a big factor.
Right. Well, that's something that we're engaged with all the time at Yes to Life, so happy to talk.
Fantastic. Thanks, Robin.
Okay, so look, True Fields is one of the things you've been busy with, because you seem to be a kind of fully signed up activist. Would you like to say a bit more about the whole range of the stuff you're engaged with? You've already mentioned a few things.
Yes, so the festival is definitely, so that would be next year, and in the meantime doing the workshops, going to start running the post-treatment workshops, but also for friends and family as well, because I think everyone cancer affects a whole unit, and a lot of people then struggle on the family sense. Even my mum doesn't remember what cancer type I had, because she's just completely blocked it out. It was too traumatic to her. She can't even remember. So it's also time for the family to get together and have their own healing process as well, and those workshops.
Great.
So it'll likely run from about 10 till 6. It will include mindful movement, meditation, nutrition, bringing in the different speakers and experts in their areas to have that reboot day and that chance to look towards post-traumatic growth. So it's focused on that. And so the workshops, I also do True Talks, which is a page over August I'm doing, which again is might kind of feel a bit weird for people, and it did feel a bit weird to me, is actually looking at the reasons why I could have got cancer. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm not going to ever fully know, but there are several things that could have linked to it, and obviously it's multifactorial and complex, but I did do certain things that could have changed my mitochondria potentially. So I want to talk about those aspects and what people can do to prevent it as well. So I'm going to do videos on that on True Talks, and more comedy as well, because I think the taboos that we have, as soon if someone hears that I've been ill or had this, they completely change their approach, and they speak to you in a different tone.
I know.
Even if someone hears what you've been through with Bryony and the inspiration behind the charity, I'm sure they speak to you, they kind of have this immediate sympathetic head tilt thing, and I find that quite it's kind of breaking through those taboos and rolling with the comedy aspects, because there's always humor. So it's the things like cancer made me think, because it's totally irrational, but it's the stuff that we all go through. So I'm going to keep up the comedy factors. So yeah, workshops, prevention videos, comedy. And I also work for Victoria's Promise, which is a fantastic charity. We're supporting young women going through treatment and beyond. And it's really inspiring work to be with the team there. I think you know Alex.
I do. I featured him on my program.
Fantastic. So I run the Young Women's Networks. So every month we have a meetup in London and back in Basingstoke, where the charity originated. So they're health and wellbeing groups as well. So lots going on, as you say, kind of dived into the activism.
You have. Well, great. More power to you. Doing great stuff.
Thank you.
So last thing, we're just coming to the end. So looking again to the future, we're both looking for a change in our healthcare in Britain here. Particularly in relation to the way that people with cancer are treated and cared for. Do you want to summarise what you'd like to see happen in UK healthcare and where you hope we might be in a few years' time, given your help, of course?
Absolutely. It's that strange thing that you do wonder how cancer sometimes has become your passion, but it really has. And I think it's that thing of realising how many things can be done. My ideal vision, I'd love for the movement of people doing all of their things to combine and for all of these voices to be heard and to be accessible. But on diagnosis, I would love it if we were tested for our deficiencies, our toxicities, the factors that could have caused it on a cellular level, and looking at those reasons so we can then know what we need to do to heal, because addressing causes is so key. So I'd love us to take the battle away from cancer, which is your cells anyway, and focus it on the causes and the roots of everything, because we're kind of living these artificial lives, and as stuff develops, inevitably it's going to be the case with screens and radiation and food and pesticides and everything that we're surrounded by. But what information can we have that can show people how to live a reduced life of toxicity and those things? But the really big factor is I really would love treatment to be integrative and personalized, because everyone who gets even the same type has a number of different reasons why they got it. We've all got different metabolisms, different DNA, different things that we eat, different thoughts, everything. So it needs to be tailored specifically to each person. And less judgment as well. I really love less judgment.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes. It's possible. Anything is possible.
Yeah. anything is possible, and change is bound to happen at this point. I think the pressure is building so fast that it's got to happen.
Absolutely.
Well, look, it's been really great to talk to you, Sophie. Very inspiring. It's brilliant to hear about all the things you're doing. I love it all. It's got a fantastic energy to it. It's a kind of my time of life. You look very young. And that young energy is brilliant. I really love it. And it's kind of desperately needed in this field. And I think you brought along this whole aspect of kind of fun and humour and lightness, which is, you know, so much needed in this gloom and doom that surrounds cancer.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and for all you've been doing as well, because I find that very inspiring. It's really great to be able to direct people to Yes to Life as well.
Many thanks, Sophie.
Thank you, Robin.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Sophie as much as I enjoyed speaking to her. She's inspirational in her matter-of-fact, can-do way of tackling change, and in the humour and the lightness with which she deals with the weight of taboos surrounding cancer. And she gets away with it all because she's been there herself as a very young person with cancer. As usual, you can find links to material that we spoke about today on the Yes to Life website. That's yestolife.org.uk, and you click the show logo on the homepage. It's only a few weeks until the first Yes to Life 10K race in East London. Find out more and get yourself signed up at yestolife10k.org. That's yestolife10k.org. If you're new to the Yes to Life show and you enjoyed it, do check out the show's page on UK Health Radio, where you can find all the past shows on Listen on Demand. There's a treasure trove of information there from an enormous range of experts. Hope you can join me again next week. Goodbye.